care of. I am knowing God more personally. We've been talking about this over the last several weeks, looking at God's original statement in Exodus that I am the I am, and then looking at Jesus' statements in the book of John, I am. This morning, if you open your Bibles to John chapter 10, we're going to follow up the text we looked at last week. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 10. This week we're going to look at verses 11 through 21. John chapter 10. The three little pigs. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. The three little pigs faced a danger, and the book, as you read the children's story, it talks about the three little pigs, and they each build a house. The first one builds a house made of what? Straw. The second one builds a house made of sticks. And the third one makes a house made of bricks. And the wolf comes, the big, bad wolf. And he says, I'm going to huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. And as you read the story, you know that he blows the first house down because it's made of straw. He blows the second house down because it's made of bricks. And all the little piggies gather in the final house, and he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs, and he can't blow that brick house down. They learned a lesson, and so they each go and build brick houses, and then the wolf isn't a danger anymore. In the children's story, the wolf can't be a danger anymore, but wolves in Jesus' time were very dangerous. This is a wolf that's actually native to that area. It might not look necessarily like our wolves, but this is a wolf native to that area. They like to eat sheep. Last week we talked about sheep and some of the characteristics of sheep. Sheep can't defend themselves from wolves, and so that falls to the shepherd. Our passage this morning is going to tell us about a good shepherd who is willing to watch over his sheep and defend them from threats like wolves. Shepherds. It was the shepherd's job to go out and care for their sheep. They would often go out and place themselves in harm's way. Shepherds are all throughout the Old Testament. It doesn't take long before we read of the first shepherd. Adam and Eve have Cain and Abel, and we know that Abel brought a sacrifice of part of his flock before the Lord. He was a shepherd. David is probably one of the most famous shepherds of the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, God promises to send a true shepherd because those who were watching over his flock, the nation of Israel, were not doing a good job. They had only done it to profit. And the text says to fatten up themselves. Psalms 23 is probably the most famous verses of the Bible, only second to John 3:16. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The first announcement of Jesus' birth was brought to a lowly group of shepherds who are keeping watch over their flocks by night. Shepherds are all throughout the Bible. God compares himself to a shepherd. Let's read our text this morning. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 21. Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? In our text this morning, we looked a couple of weeks ago at Jesus and this conversation that just continues through chapters 8 and 9 and 10, and he's continuing to talk to these Pharisees and others, and you remember that Jesus healed a man born blind. And so they're referring to that even at the end of this chapter still. There are three ways that in this passage talk about how the good shepherd, Jesus, takes care of his sheep. The first way is that the good shepherd lays down his life. The good shepherd lays down his life. From the time of the Exodus all the way up until Jesus' time, the people were to be making sacrifices. The people were to be killing sheep, and that was to cover their sin. That was to make the payment for their sin. And so they live with these sacrifices for thousands and thousands of years. But Jesus comes and tells them that they're no longer going to need those sacrifices, that he was going to take the place of the sheep, that he was the good shepherd who was going to lay down his life for the sheep. Many sheep had laid down their lives for people and to cover the sin, but now the good shepherd was going to take the place of all of the sheep and lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus makes a contrast here of the good shepherd and the hired hand. God gives us a contrast. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 34. If you'd like to turn there, you can. I'm going to read some of this morning. This is Ezekiel, a prophet. He was to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. I mentioned it once this morning. I wanted to read it. Ezekiel chapter 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled over them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. That's through verse 6. God says the shepherds that are supposed to be feeding the flock, that are supposed to be caring for the flock, that are supposed to be watching out for the flock, that are supposed to be seeking the flock to get lost, they haven't done their job. Those shepherds have been in it for themselves. Verse 7, God says this, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. God says, I'm going to step in. I'm going to take these flocks away from those shepherds because they're not caring for them. He continues in verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country, and I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat of the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. God says, I'm going to step in. The shepherds here have not been doing their job. They've just been caring for themselves. They've let the sheep just wander off. He said, my people have been scattered along all the mountains. I'm going to step in and I will be their shepherd. Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd. I am the one who is coming to restore the sheep of Israel. Jesus says in this passage, not only these sheep, but there are other sheep that I'm going to call. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. The sheep is willing, the shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Paul says in Philippians 2:8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, talking about Jesus, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus became obedient to death on a cross. He paid the penalty for sin. We trust things to work for us. About a month ago, I went out and tried to start my vehicle. I had trusted that it was going to work, and then it didn't. This week, I trusted that there was going to be hot water for the shower, and I started the shower, and I got in, and within a couple of minutes, it started getting cold. I had to go down and relight the pilot in order to restore my trust in the hot water. We trust things. Sometimes it's people we trust, and just like those instruments, the vehicle or the hot water heater, sometimes they break our trust. We've given them something in confidence, and then they tell others that we didn't intend for them to tell. Trust can easily be broken. But Jesus comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd could be trusted by the sheep. You see, the shepherd had to build a relationship with the sheep so that the sheep knew that he could be trusted. The shepherd would feed them and they would know the shepherd is the one caring for us. The shepherd would protect them from dangers. The shepherd would protect them at nighttime. The shepherd would care for them and seek them out as they would get lost or away from the rest of the flock. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd could be trusted because he loves his sheep. How do we know he loves? 1 John 4 tells us, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He came and made that payment for our sins. The payment was his death on the cross? Do I completely trust Jesus with every area of my life? Do I hold on, or do I try to take control of areas of my own life that I should be giving over to Him in trust? Jesus is the good shepherd who deserves our full trust in what He can do. The second way the good shepherd cares for His people is found in verses 14 and 15. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold." It says He knows the sheep. He knows His people. There are two different types of knowing here. There's knowing like knowing information. You know your name. You remember your address. You remember your telephone number. You know information. There's others that know that information about you too. That's not the type of knowing that we're talking about here. See, there's two words for knowing in the Bible, and that is the first one, knowing information about somebody. But the second type of knowing, this type of knowing, the way that the good shepherd knows his people is a heart knowledge. Sometimes I'm sitting in my office and during moms, there's several babies in the nursery, but sometimes I hear a cry. And I know what baby is crying in the nursery. That's not any of the other six babies that are in the nursery. That's my baby. That's not just a head knowledge. Sometimes those of you that are married, you start a sentence and your spouse can finish it. That's not just a head knowledge. That's a heart knowledge. Sometimes somebody's having a rough day and you know how to make them laugh or how to make them smile. That's not just a head knowledge. That's a heart knowledge because you know that other person. You know more about them than just their name and their address and their phone number. You know about their personality. You know about who they are. And that's the type of knowledge that Jesus is talking about here. You see, He compares it to a hired hand. A hired hand comes in and he's just hired to take care of the sheep. So when a wolf comes, that trouble comes, when there's things in this life, the nine other players that are against the one, when those times come, the hired hand just runs away. Because all he's going to do is lose a job. But Jesus is not willing to lose any of his sheep. Jesus says, "I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep because I know my sheep." He knows us each by name. He knows how many hairs are on our head, but He doesn't just know those things. He knows your dreams, your desires, your ambitions. He knows the deepest cries of your heart. He knows when you have joy, and He knows when you're experiencing pain. He knows all about you. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He's going to provide. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." The shepherd had to lead the sheep to an area where there was food. And he would take them there and they would be able to rest. "He leads me beside still waters." The shepherd would have to take the sheep to an area where there's water, very dry climate. They would travel to find the food and the water. "The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Shepherds would create a path as they traveled over mountains and through areas, and it began to be a trusted path. because the shepherd would walk it over and over again, and the sheep knew that they needed to stay on the path and follow the shepherd because the shepherd had blazed the path before them. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of holiness that's been walked before, that's been traveled before, that's now a safe and secure path. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When those rough times come, we won't fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff that the shepherd used was never used to hit the sheep. The rod and the staff that the shepherd used was used to coax the sheep to come back to the flock, was used to help direct them. But its main use was defensive for when animals came or dangers came. They would have the rod. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says he knows his people and his people know him. How are you doing at getting to know your good shepherd? He knows you really well. Where are you in your journey to follow your shepherd like that with complete trust? The final way. The good shepherd gathers his people. The good shepherd knows his people, and the good shepherd gathers his people. Jesus says that there are other sheep not of this fold. He's talking about Gentiles there. He's talking about that there's other sheep that he needs to gather and make one fold, one group together with one church who will follow the good shepherd and obey his voice. And in the book of Luke, Jesus gives an illustration. He says, how many of you, if you were a shepherd and one of your sheep gets lost, would not leave the 99, if you had 100 sheep, would not leave the 99 and go off and search for the one? How many of you would not leave those sheep there and go off and find the one who was lost? Once a shepherd finds the sheep, he would return rejoicing. And in Jesus' illustration, he says he returns rejoicing and invites all of his neighbors to come over and celebrate with him because he has found the sheep that was lost. And he says, like that, angels celebrate in heaven over one sinner who repents. Jesus is saying there are other sheep in the fold that need to be saved. God said back in Ezekiel, I will call my sheep. I will bring them back together. But Ezekiel didn't have the full picture there of that God was going to bring in both Jews and Gentiles into the fold. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient. Why hasn't God returned yet? This verse answers it. Because he's patient and he's waiting that all should reach repentance. And we know that some are not. Some are not going to give their lives, their hearts over to God. But he's waiting until everyone who can has the opportunity to hear the gospel. God is patient. Some of you have done farming all of your life. You have to get the field ready and you have to plant the seed and then you have to wait and wait. It's exciting when you look out and you see the little green things popping up in the field. The seed worked. The seed worked. There's something there. But then you still have to wait. And you have to endure the times of drought. Or this past year, too much rain. And you have to wait. And you have to wait. And you have to wait. And then finally comes a time when the crops are ready. It's harvest time. You go out and you start collecting the harvest. Like that, the Bible says that God is patient. God is patiently awaiting for the harvest to be ready. God is patiently waiting to gather his people. Just like the farmer, God is waiting for the crop to mature. He's waiting to collect the harvest until it is completely ready, and he's calling both Jews and Gentiles to be a part of one flock, his church. Have you answered that call? Have you answered that call to be a part of the body of Christ? The good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep can trust me because I have cared for them. Whenever you look back on your life, I look back on mine, and I can see the times that God has provided. I can see the times that God has cared for things in my life. I look back and I know I can trust him because he's always been there. We need to trust the good shepherd in all circumstances because he is completely in control. He is completely in control. I'm reading a book by Max Lucado called Anxious for Nothing. In the book, Max talks about how so much of America has anxiety. We're anxious about things. So many problems in our lives, illnesses, sicknesses are caused by anxiety. He says, many other countries don't have this problem. They don't have that anxiety. When people come over from other countries and live here, they develop the anxiety because they're living in this country. As I read through part of that book this week, he talked about how we don't have a reason to be anxious about things because we serve a God who is in control of all things. A God who created the heavens and the earth. He can be trusted in all circumstances, no matter what you're facing, because he is completely in control. He's sovereign over all things. We know how it is going to end. I've read the last chapter. We know how it's going to end. He's going to return. And yes, there are going to be times when it's going to feel like it's 9-1. There are going to be times when we're struggling, and there are going to be times in life when things are thrown at us. Sometimes God allows those things so that we can grow closer to him through them. But we need to give our trust to him in all circumstances. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord because, what? He cares for you. We have a good shepherd that cares for us, and we can trust him. Would you pray with me? Father, a lot of times in life we want to take up things and try to do them on our own, and it just causes us anxiety and causes us stress and causes us to not trust you. God, I pray that you help us as we go through our weeks, that we would learn to trust the good shepherd, that you are caring for all of our needs, that you are helping us through all the circumstances of our lives. God, I pray that we would give you that trust in every area. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.